Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. There was cooking today. Think bacon, asafoetida, achar, Arctic apples, and some crunchy stuff with hanger steaks. We are podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. Get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Peninsula Food Service. They are the best in the beef business. Go to... Yeah, I'm gonna let you wait for it. PeninsulaFood.com. Our guest today is farm owner Vicki Webster from Happy Tales Goat Farm in Riverview. I am excited about that. But first, let's get Chef Jeffrey Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels to get on this program. Our co-host extraordinaire. How are you doing, baby?
Fantastic, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a great day today, man.
Bro, did we not have a blast today?
It always is when you come over to Ibis.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. Ibis is always great, but the fact is, we're bringing the food, right?
Yeah.
We're bringing some, like, badass Creekstone Farm hanger steaks. We're cooking it up. You're doing all the fixins and accoutrements, and then John gets to come in here and capture it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've already started posting.
Yeah. Very well aware. mid shoot. I'm like, oh, look at that. Hey, it's already on.
Something is there already. Ooh, bing. You know? All right. So let's talk about what do we do today?
Well, let's talk about the hanger steak. Because this is like back in the day, it was known as the butcher steak. And it was one of those cuts that really is only one per animal. And they didn't really know, people didn't really know about it. And so, but the butcher did. And the butcher took that home because that has got the meatiness of a ribeye and the intermuscular of a filet mignon. So it has best of both worlds. You don't have big chunks of fat. It has really nice distribution. Mm. It has that beautiful char to it when you get it right on the char. So I wanted to do two different types.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I don't want to confuse a char with
HR.
HR. Right.
Or HR.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I go all the time.
Right.
HR.
I'm always, you know, stop calling me.
Right. Right. But I wanted to focus on one is the Indian subcontinent and the food of it and kind of introduce you guys to it, as well as the people that listen to the podcast, as well as, you know, seeing it on social media. Pickling, as we know in the United States, has got a beautiful brine. And there's also another one that's fermentation of lacto-ovo, which is our lactose, which is like similar to sauerkraut. Pickling from India is that way. It's done in it's not just salt and then throw it into a, you know, get that fermentation going. This is actually, it's got fenugreek, it's got cumin, it's got coriander. There's a lot more beautiful flavor profiles that are in that product. So it brings in a whole nother level, especially the heat and, you know, that can bring in too, that you tasted.
Yeah, that wasn't just, it wasn't, you know, heat. It wasn't hot.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, there was a spice factor, but it was a flavor factor.
Yeah.
It was heavy flavor with some heat to it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you, you know, I mean, I probably had a little bit more than I should have, I'm thinking. But because I did get a little fiery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's a misconception with, you know, Indian food that everyone thinks it's curry. Curry is not what we all think. Curry leaves is where we get the curry from. What we perceive as curry in the United States is the yellow stuff, and that's turmeric. The base for most curries in Indian curry
is Steph. Steph Curry.
That's basketball.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
But what's interesting is garam masala. That's kind of like the backbone of all the different ingredients. And that alone probably has 10 to 13 different ingredients in it. The problem is there's different sections of India that use, you know, garam masala or curry in different ways. So please don't think when you smell curry, that's what Indian food is all about. Because Indian food is so much more than just curries. There's palak paneer, there's chana masala, there's dal. So these are just introductions. Like going into the Indian market was absolutely fantastic because I found a new one called Taza here in Tampa. And it was just, I was in the kid in a candy store for
it's
me.
It's by the highway, right?
Yeah, it's right off of 275 rather. Bruce Downs right there.
Bruce B. Downs, yeah.
Yeah. But it had asafoetida, which is a really interesting, and I wanted to introduce that to you guys because asafoetida is, there's a religion in South India that they don't believe in killing anything. So that means you don't have garlic or ginger because that's the root of the plant. So what they do is they have this plant and this mixture that has this element of onion and garlic combined, and it's absolutely stunning. I mean, John was like, wow, what is that? And that's where that comes from. And it really adds a different depth and complexity to it. The other one we wanted to do today, as far as the hanger steak, is we want to focus in on like some Southern cooking, some comfort food, because it's raining again. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
So we did a fully loaded mashed potatoes, but instead of putting the bacon inside the mashed potatoes, we actually put bacon powder on top, chives, and we caramelized that, and then we put some collard on the bottom.
That was some serious plating. And not to, I don't want to gloss over it, but the red hue that we got on the first, on right. the first steak.
Yep.
You know, from the
achar.
Yeah, man, I have to tell, you know, I'm going to say this, Keith, seriously, you know, he would be proud.
I hope so.
I think you've done Keith good today.
It's funny. You just see who just texted me right now. That's Keith.
Is that right?
Yes.
You know, I've got that, you know,
He just texted.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you can't forget about the peach gobbler, especially with White Claw.
Oh no, man. Oh God.
White Claw peach. Yeah. Seltzer with that added to the actual peach gobbler was crunchy to crunch, crunch.
Yeah. I put, it's 25 pounds easy. I'm up. I am a fat ass. And it happened here with you and John.
I resemble that.
Yes. Yeah.
But you know what? Vicky's got some really good goat milk and goat cheeses. And then her daughter actually does some really great goat soaps.
Listen, what?
Goat soaps. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get into that. I mean, you had me at goat cheese. Cause I am all about goat cheese.
Yeah.
Yes. I can just eat the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got some great stories about her goats too.
What would you, what's something elevated that you would make with goat cheese?
Whipped goat cheese. Like what we did, the whipped feta that I was trying to do, which is goat, whipped feta with the charred watermelon cucumber that was layered. That'd be great too. But even beets with feta.
Yeah, that's nice. How do we introduce that into a whatever piece of meat I'm going to bring from Peninsula next?
You know what would be really good?
I'm asking you.
A beef carpaccio.
Oh, no.
And then roll it out, have the goat cheese whipped in the center with some truffles and roll that up and then slice that down.
You dirty son. Yeah, yeah, that sounds terrific. So what piece of meat do I have to bring for that? What am I doing?
You can do eye round. You could do filet. You could do, those are kind of like the typical ones.
Are you tap dancing again?
That's Smokey.
Old Smokey?
Yeah, Smokey. Smokey's having some fun.
Yeah. It's our mascot, for those of you who don't know.
He just went to the other side, John.
Yeah.
This is actually more comical than...
Yeah, we should be filming today.
Yeah.
Oh. 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 All right, so... All right. So without further ado, let's get Miss Vicky on the line. Vicky, are you there?
I sure am.
All right. How you doing? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing well. I feel like I'm being tormented though, like listening to all of these things you're going to do with my cheese, and I don't get to taste it.
Well, listen, get your own podcast, create a food industry media company and you're good to go.
Or you bring the cheese, deliver it, and you wait for that to happen.
You know what we can do? Here's what we can do to bring awareness as well, right? When we actually do this, when we put together this event that we're, looking at with Marvin mm-hmm. and all the chefs mm-hmm. and the alumni.
Yeah, August and September.
Right. Make sure that we... make sure that we get some product from Vicky and implement it into the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
might as well have our daughter's soap there too.
We can make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, what's a soap? What is this?
he got to try the soap when he came out to the farm, and I think he's addicted.
Can you tell me about it?
It's goat soap. You can't. It's
goat soap.
It's
what's
phenomenal.
The fragrance? I mean, do I smell like the back of a...
Vicky can tell you better than that.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to find out here. Vicky, talk to me.
It is literally just, she uses goat's milk. She uses sustainably sourced coconut oil. Usually like a rice bran oil or a olive oil. And then she sources fragrances that are, I don't know all the technical terms because this is not my forte, but, she uses special fragrances that don't have any of the phthalates. I think it's like phthalate-free fragrance. And she makes the soap, and she makes it with fragrance and with essential oils. And it's really nice.
You've got to be
and
kidding
I
me.
And I am a firm believer.
I was waiting to use it.
I had to slide that in there. But I've never heard of that, and I'll check it out. I mean, it's funny because I've just recently started looking into like natural deodorants, without the aluminum and all the other crap that's in there. Mm-hmm. So I'd be interested in that. And you're kind of close. We're in the same kind of relative hood. I'm over in Lithia. So I'm like,
okay. You're not, you're a neighbor.
Yeah.
Right, you're a close neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in Riverview every day on the way home or on our way out or whatever.
She's literally right off the highway at the current farm she's in.
Yeah.
But that's why we're talking to her, because she's got some.
Talk to me. So what's up? Tell the what are the plans and what are we doing?
So we've got a slight issue. We've been here for 2 years. We moved here in July of 2021 with the understanding from the owner that we could stay for at least 3 to 5 years. And this was supposed to be our stepping stone until we got a permanent property. And the owner died 14 months after moving here. He had some major health issues and he passed away, and the children have now decided to liquidate the property. So we are in a position now that we are going to have to move. And it's not just affecting us. It's affecting 14 other farms, including us, because we have basically built a little CSA here. We have our grass-fed goat's milk. Our girls are, we've got about 7.5, almost 8 acres here. The girls are on pasture close to 12 to 14 hours a day. They are locked up just at night for their own protection. And we do everything here as organically as possible. We are not certified organic by any means. And as any farmer will tell you, the Florida soil here pretty much sucks as far as like nutrient dense wise. So the girls do get grain, but we have gone the extra mile to make sure that the grain that we source is from a local feed mill, and the local feed mill is sourcing that grain from farms that are doing things right. And, we feed herbicide and pesticide free hay, and just have gone the extra mile to do everything right. And,
how's your capacity, with the 7 or 8 acres that you have now? I mean, are you close to capacity, or you need 10 acres or 15 acres?
We honestly are only using about half of it right this second. We do pasture rotation, and, we've got the girls on about 2 acre chunks, and we rotate them out every about 3 months. With the winter, the grass doesn't grow, so we ended up having to put them on a section and supplement them with peanut hay from North Florida for the last like 3 months because of the drought that we've had. But we haven't even gotten it to capacity yet. And that's the thing. We want to grow. We have received such a warm welcome with the customers and stores and restaurants in the area that have wanted, whether it be the meat or the milk or the cheese or the yogurt or whatever it is that we're making. And I don't want to stop growing.
And are you, I'm assuming are you logistically tied down to Riverview or how does that work with your clientele and whatever suppliers you have?
I like the fact that we are in Hillsborough County because of just logistically, it's easy to get to Orlando or to get to some of the stores and things that are up towards the Brooksville and Spring Hill area. And I can get to Pinellas and like the Manatee, Sarasota area pretty easily. So I don't necessarily need to be in Riverview, but we would like to stay somewhat in this general area. I basically dropped a pin in the like Brandon area and drew out about 60 miles in a circle. And I mean, that's about as far as I can go the way I see it.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty big radius, 60 mile radius.
I can't be picky.
Well, you can't it's just look for a farm. You're not looking for just for a farm with fencing. You're also looking for a home on it.
Right.
Well, exactly.
And your target customer, who's your client? Are you doing food service? Is it retail? Is it like how does your business work?
It's a conglomeration of a couple things. We obviously do like the private person that wants to come and get the goat's milk. Or we also deal with pet customers that are feeding the goat's milk to their dogs, which, of course, in the state of Florida, it's sold for pet consumption only. So all of it's going to Fifi and Fufu. But
how many animals are on property?
If it is sold, we have about 80.
Wow, that's a lot of goats.
Well, you have to hear the story about goats, though. When I met her, tell them what the goats love to do mostly.
Eat stuff, bro.
Well, no.
Don't they eat everything?
They go after a certain.
Is that sheep or goats?
No, they don't eat everything. Neither. Okay, that is a myth. That is a total myth. They do not eat everything. There is a misnomer out there right now, though, that goats don't like grass, which is if anybody wants to come out in the middle of the summer and see the grass up to my knees and watch the goats not eat the grass, I would love to entertain that as well. But they do not eat tin cans like what people say they do. They kind of stick to browse. Like that's their favorite thing is bushes and trees and weeds and things like that. But they can eat the dickens out of a whole lot of things. And they love bananas. My children will kill for some bananas.
Well, what's that weed that they eat that they're not supposed to eat?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Oh, they're not supposed to eat pokeweed. They're not supposed. Now I know what you're talking about. The nightshade story.
Yeah, that
my one. My daughter found nightshade in the pasture, and supposedly, according to all these literary sources, they're like, oh, if the goats have more than enough to eat, they won't eat things that they're not supposed to eat. And I call bull on that one.
I mean, that's, so my daughter. I know with me, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way for them either.
If I'm full, I just keep finding a way to eat more. It's bad.
God. Yeah, you have to find more things to eat. So, yeah, my daughter found a huge patch of nightshade, and she's walking through the field with it, and they're literally jumping up, trying to eat the nightshade as she's walking through the pasture, and she is dying.
Is this like catnip to goats?
No, it actually will kill them.
Right, but in other words, they really like it.
No, they're just stupid.
Okay.
They were being stupid. No, I'm sorry. We're totally on the page. It's like walking through a toddler room with a bunch of lollipops and having all the little toddlers hopping up trying to grab the lollipops. Wow. Is the way that these goats look. It was ridiculous.
I have to follow you around. You sound like you're fun. I don't know. This sounds great.
The other day when we were talking, she was like, two of them got their head stuck in the hay bin and they almost killed themselves.
Oh my gosh. They did. We took one of the water toads. I can't think of what they're called.
Oh, buffo,
but they've got an aluminum frame.
No, they're talking about the crate to put the hay in.
Oh, yeah.
These are square aluminum frames that you put. Oh, they come with a big, huge water barrel inside of them. It's like QCV or I don't remember. But anyways, it's a water tote. And we take the plastic out and we put the hay inside. There's 5 million holes, but no, darned if like two of them had to stick both their heads through the same hole at the same time.
So they have a death wish. The misconception about most people.
There's tons of comedy in that statement. But look, so let's get back to goat milk goat cheese for a second. How long is it? How do you make that? What's your process? In other words, is it automated?
Do you want to pick a question? You're all over.
There's a lot to it when you form. Yeah, they either use rennet or you use an enzyme that coagulates the milk and then produces the whey.
Or you can use an acid.
Or an acid.
Or you can use clabber. Or if you do clabber, you just leave it literally out on the countertop and it will ferment. And you could actually make cream cheese out of that.
No kidding.
You can actually make goat's milk mozzarella.
Oh, wow. Oh, we should try that.
Yes, you can.
That would be a great episode.
Yes, you can.
Well, I mean, think about it. There are some people out there that can't have a buffalo milk or cow milk mozzarella.
That's
what
so
a great
sad.
Alternative that's for so having. Correct. My wife is one of those that can't have regular mozzarella. Mm. So that's why I'm like, ooh, goat's milk mozzarella. Because she can have goat's milk.
I think
we make.
How many different cheeses do you make? How many different cheeses do you make, actually?
Right now, I'm at 6. We don't do mozzarella very often, but we do chèvre. We do feta, halloumi, paneer, and then I make a farmer's cheese.
Paneer.
And then, obviously, the paneer is yummy.
Yeah, paneer is just, life-changing.
You know, Vicky, I would, if it's possible, I understand that there's always hurdles to these things, but I would love to learn more about your process or, do a tour, because what I would want to do is try to help you find another piece of property.
That's why she's on the show.
I know. And I'm reiterating that. But I also want to understand more about just the farm in general and everything that's offered and whatnot.
Yeah, but she. What's really interesting about her farm is you have a bio hat like thing. What do you call that when nobody's allowed on the farm, like outside?
So we do biosecurity. We do biosecurity pretty strict here. You can see the goats from the fencing. but I don't allow anybody to go into their pastures just because we have tested all of these goats. They are all fully tested. They are negative for any diseases. And if people walk into the pastures, they carry cooties on their shoes.
Yeah, and I don't need to go into the pasture, but yeah, I would
no,
like
I just wanted to point out they go the extra mile with their goats because they are tested, and then she's got very strict protocols.
Right.
Some farmers don't. You know, they'll let anybody on the property, but they don't realize what the implications are. She was one of the first farmers when I moved that I met that she had that. And they're great. They'll walk over to you because the way the farm is, there was a house in the middle and you came around like a U, and they came and they had this one section, and they were so fun to look at. You know, when you get up close to them, they don't have round little pupils and irises. They have like little slits, and like, you're like, huh? So, you know, for me, it was like, oh, that's pretty damn cool. And then just the different species and how they interact with one another.
Yeah. I think that's any farming to me is fascinating because I can't grow anything. I just
well, you know. Your belly.
No, oh, you know. I mean, I'm a pro at that.
Yes.
I have earned the stripes for that.
Yes,
I should say stretch marks.
I told him today, Vicky. I told him last night. I sent a text out to both John and Carl. I'm like, wear Spanx tomorrow.
Yeah, true story. Yeah, that is. You did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got like
anywhere in jeans.
I'm on the last hole on the belt. Yeah, so terrible. What are you guys doing to me?
Nothing but feeding you.
Well,
I am living my best life.
Really
I have
cool
to tell you.
Too, if you guys come out here, they are all bottle fed babies. So we give everybody that comes out here animal crackers, and they are literally right up your behind, wanting to get scratches and.
And I'm supposed to share the animal crackers. Really. Is that what you're telling
he
me?
He would do one for the coat, yeah, two for me.
One for me, two for you.
We buy them in large Sam's Club containers, so there's more than enough.
Oh, we'll I know those. I know the one you're talking about.
Because your kids probably eat them, too.
You know, as it turned out, when they were, whatever, two, three, something like that.
Are we talking about the goats or your kids?
My children.
Okay.
They didn't eat the animal crackers, and I was forced to eat.
Oh, you were forced.
It was like a 10 pound container.
You're forced.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I forced him to eat the two hanger steaks today. Right, John?
It's food abuse if you don't eat it all. You have to finish it all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Gen X, right? So, Gen X.
We all are.
I know. Well, yeah. So we grew up, you know, with our grandparents saying, hey, you better eat everything. And therefore, our parents tell us, you know, there's people starving wherever. And, you know.
My mom's classic line, there's starving kids in Ethiopia. And I'm like, they probably won't eat this crap either.
I would always tell them, I was like, well, let's send it.
Yeah. I was that kid when I was that old, young. I had a mouth on me.
You still do.
It's worse.
Yeah. I try to keep, you know, for the program, I try.
You're the one that brings it up. I'm the one that brings it down.
It's like an anchor, you know, or like that sub.
Oh, shots fired. Is that too soon?
I don't think so, because you know what? Listen, not for nothing. Dumbest thing to ever do in your life.
Well, especially
how many feet down was that?
12,000 feet.
Who's going to, in a pillbox? You're going to go down 12,000 feet in a pillbox.
How about it's off the shelf from Harbor Freight? It's a Nintendo game controller.
The components of the actual.
I'm with you on the Nintendo game controller. And like, what happened to the little like airbags that were supposed to be on the side that was supposed to poof them up when it
exactly.
didn't work anymore?
Yep.
Yeah. So. I don't, you know, look, in one respect, I mean, I'm a human and
human life is lost. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will tell you that's bad decisions, bad choices.
Here, I got a better situation now for anyone that in the future thinking they want to go into a sub to go visit the Titanic for $250,000, you can adopt the Walk and Talk show and we'll gladly take your money for you.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, we can, you know, you can have the show for a year.
No, we're going to donate that money to the farm.
That's what we would do.
The farm fund.
There would be.
That's what we would do.
There would be food galore. That's for sure.
You know how many farmers we can help out with that?
There's two places. Really, there's two vehicles that I'm not getting into. One is a pillbox submarine, and the other one is a rocket ship. You know, I'm not paying to be a tourist in space or 10,000 feet below. Like, that's so stupid.
I'll wait until there's more of them down there.
Does a submarine count too or no?
Does what?
Does a submarine count too or no?
I would begrudgingly get into like a military grade submarine, you know, but I don't know that I would want to do that. Like, that's really claustrophobic for me. You know, I mean, I'd rather get punched in the face, to tell you the truth, you know.
I don't want to go 12,000 feet. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. I'll wait for another 400,000 people to go, you know, first.
Disney had what?
The 20,000 leagues.
You get in that thing, you go under the water a little bit. That was fun.
I'll do that.
You know, do that every day. Yeah. Every day do that. But this.
If you go to the NASA Space Center, they have two different, they've got Mission Space and they've got another one that I don't remember what the name of it was. And honestly, my daughter is completely claustrophobic, and she, I thought, was going to lose her ever-loving mind because they literally bolt you into that stupid little, that ride, and there's no getting out. There's no emergency exit. There's no nothing. You are stuck in that thing, and it reminds you of a pillbox, definitely.
It's
larger than a pillbox.
I'm all about mission dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I'm not into like mission, you know, mission space or mission 20,000 leagues. Like, I don't want that. I don't need that in my life. Nope. I'd rather have goat cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Any day of the week.
Yeah. On a crostini. You know what I mean? Like,
how is that even a comparison? Like, that's like good over bad.
Exactly.
Like,
it's actually works
really,
smarter,
really
not
good over bad. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I do. My heart goes out to the families because they got to deal with the consequences of, you know, more, you know, bad decisions. That's terrible. But all right. So what's your website? How do people find you?
We are on Facebook at Happy Tales Farm. We do not have a website. I just honestly have not had time to build one.
We know a guy.
But Vicky. You can always find us.
Vicky.
What?
Vicky, listen. Yes. I know a guy. We can help you out on the website.
Yeah, the website we definitely can.
That would be amazing.
Well, we really need to find out is get you a piece of land.
First, you need to get settled,
property,
right? Or resettled, I should say, and then you know, we talk about all that.
But biggest thing that like has I've seen what an impact we are on the community, and I've had so many people come up to us and tell us that, you know, as they found out the news that we're losing the property, that they don't know what they're going to do without us. And I see how much of an impact we have had with all of these other farms that don't have the contacts that we do. And I feel a responsibility to them because I like what I'm doing and I love the job that I have and the ability to touch people's lives the way we've been able to, with being able to put them in touch with food that is healthy, raised well, not the stuff, your garbage you're going to get out of the supermarket. And I mean, we've got everybody from mushroom farmers to, I've got a lady that has a shrimp boat, Ohana Seafood, Maple Brook Farms with the mushrooms.
Maple Brook is my boys over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that the guy from
Byron?
Yeah, Byron.
Byron and Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are amazing. We've partnered with the Honey Couple. They have their honey down here, which has allowed them to reach clientele that they haven't normally been able to reach. And we've dealt with multiple different meat farmers, Hopewell Heritage Farms, Casa Granada Farms. And then our biggest people that we work with is Jersey Acres, which is a dairy cow farm that's down in Arcadia. And they bring their product up here, and they don't have very many places that it comes to. So people get everything from cream and butter and sour cream and cottage cheese and homemade cheddar, and that's all cow's milk.
Farm hub of sorts.
Yeah.
We are. We are.
Not only that.
So we definitely need help finding another place so that we can continue what we're doing. And, you know, we also – In the process of is doing what we have been with the food, we've also been helping kids, and we've had
going.
A lot of special needs kids and abused kids come out here, and parents in a lot of these situations don't have the funds to be able to have their kids do these enrichment programs and stuff. And I've had children come out here that I literally had a lady show up at the farm who had two-year-olds. They were twin girls and they didn't talk. And they were just screaming in the car, and she was ready to pull her hair out. And I said, bring them out of the car. I'm like, I've got some baby chicks. They could see the baby goats. And she was really worried about imposing. And I was like, no, just bring them out of the car. Let them see the babies. By the time they left, the little girl, the one little one, holds the chick out to mommy and goes, mommy, baby chick. The mom starts bawling. I'm bawling. I was just like, holy crazy balls. Like, I can't believe that this kid's talking. That's awesome. You know, it's just my two boys are autistic. And
I was
going to
say, were those two children on the spectrum?
I don't know. And I don't really think that she knew. I told her some community resources to reach out to have the kids tested, because I think she was foreign. I don't know where she was from, whether it was from, you know, Russia or, you know, somewhere in Europe. But she did not know what resources were here. But I told her, I was like, it's not normal for a 2-year-old not to to have very many words. And she could not get them to talk. But yeah, I mean, they've given language to my boys. You know, my oldest, we had to teach him sign language. And when we went to All Children's to have him tested, he handed me a questionnaire with about 200 words on it. And I was like, nope, he doesn't know any of them. And then we got to the animal column and I was like, yep, I can put a check mark on against every single one of those. And they knew if they wanted to make this kid talk, they had to talk about an animal and then the kid would talk. It's just, they have this way about them, a magic. And it makes the kids feel better. It's obviously good for the animals because the animals eat it up. But I mean, it's just a way for the children to express themselves in a low anxiety situation. And you know, you have a child that normally isn't talking or doesn't want to, and the next thing you know, they're reading a book to a goat. So it works.
I mean, that's terrific. And that sort of outreach in the community is needed. Yeah. Listen, off air, we'll talk more. About it and kind of see if we can put together some sort of a plan of action to help, and you know, we'll reach out to our audience and other people in the trade and see what, you know, see if there's anything we can do to assist. I mean, I you know, we won't drop it. We'll pick this up and kind of run with it. So just FYI, we'll you can count on that.
We really appreciate it. We really do.
Yeah. Anything we can.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. We are glad to have you. And I'm not kidding when I tell you that I am looking for some like product. I want to try your stuff. I'll buy it. I mean, I'm not looking for freebies. I do want to try what you have, and I want to see how we can start connecting you maybe to some new buyers, some new clients as well. Help you expand. I know there's a long way to go here. You got a lot of stuff going on, but we'll put it together.
Oh, definitely. Well, we've got probably 8 little piggies going to the butcher in about 2 weeks. So we got to hook up.
Oh, yeah.
I just got giddy.
Me too. I just got a smile.
We've got everything from roasters. We're going to have probably like 20-pound, 30-pound roasters that'll be perfect to fit on the grill.
We're gonna
bigger grill.
Right. We're gonna talk about it again. Listen, it was great to have you on. We got a hard cut here. Thanks everyone for listening. Jeff, John, awesome day today. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.